Well, hello, everybody. Hey, thanks for joining us online. Whether you're watching here in Hawaii or in the mainland or anywhere else in the world, welcome to church. My name is TJ. I have the privilege of being able to teach here at New Hope Winter from time to time. I absolutely love it. And if you are just joining us, first, just want to say a special welcome to you. And then I also want to kind of catch you up to where we've kind of been the last couple weeks. So a couple weeks back, we started this series called Getting Back to the New Normal. And basically, we're going through kind of just different mindsets and things that we need to do to really approach these unprecedented times and really put our hearts in a place where we can just see God continue to work in and through our lives. And so today we're going to be in John chapter 7. And as you're turning there, I wanted to start with a little bit of a story, if I could. And it has to do with me growing up in one of my favorite words ever. It's the word smorgasbord. Isn't that a great word? Smorgasbord. Here, just try and say it with me. Smorgasbord. Just rolls off the tongue. I know some of you guys are like, I don't even know what that is. Well, I'll show you a little bit. A smorgasbord, this is a little example, and this is from me. This is right the day before I moved to Hawaii. I've been in Hawaii now for 17 years. And if you can't find my bolo head or bald head, it's right here, and it actually has hair on it, if you can't see. This is my glory. I look like a little chia pet. But this is at Tony Roma's, and I look sad, and the reason I look sad is I just ate 68 ribs that night. I cut out all of the things down there. It's the most ribs I ever ate. We had a contest, and I lost. 68, and I lost. But that was a little bit of a smorgasbord, just going crazy and eating, and it's close to what it's like, except that at Tony Roma's, it's only ribs. To truly understand what a smorgasbord is, you got to go to Hawaii's ninth island, Las Vegas. And if you go to Las Vegas, have you ever been to one of those casino buffets where it's like they've just got everything, right? They've got the Chinese food that's not really Chinese food, like American Chinese food. And then you got the Italian food. And if it's really high mox, or for those of you guys in the mainland, really high roller, they'll have that seafood spread, right? They got the crab legs, and it's as much as you want. And you go in there, and it's like, there's food from all over the world here, and I could eat as much as I want. Smorgasbord. I love it. Now, how does this relate to today? It doesn't. No, just kidding. It totally does. How does it relate today? It's this. As a pastor, you know, over the last couple weeks, I've had an opportunity to talk to a lot of people. And here's what I found. People are all over the place right now. What do I mean? Let me show it to you on a graph. Let's say I made this graph, and let's say just in the last 2 months, you know, with the whole COVID stuff and everything else, on this side, you had people that were isolated, and then on the other side, people that feel connected. And then on this side, if you had people that feel junk, or that this season's just been completely great. I'm going to show you just a snapshot, just the conversations I've had in the last 2 weeks, because it's going to make a point and help us understand John 7 a little bit better. I talked to some people yesterday, and this is what they're telling me. Dude, this season has been the best. I'm working one day a week. It's a couple. We're spending so much time in the ocean. We kayak every day. We paddleboard. We surf. It's just been amazing. Now, the same day, I talked to the same couple, same age, just different circumstance, and they're all the way down here. They have two small kids, and they're like, this is crazy. We're both working. It just feels so busy. I don't know how much longer I can keep this up. Then you have another person that's over here, and they're kind of like really like staying on the news, and they're kind of isolated. And as they're reading everything, it's just getting them more and more scared, and they just feel like really anxious all the time. This person right here that I talked to, they literally can't stop crying. They find themselves in the bathroom multiple times, just in tears. This one over here, they lost their job, but they found out they're actually making more through unemployment than they were at their job, and they don't even know how to feel about it. These guys back here, this guy, he had one of the biggest awakenings in his whole life. He wasn't even around anybody, and he actually kicked some major addictions that were in his life. So he thinks this has been the best season ever. These guys down here, they're about to lose their business, and they're terrified. And so if you were to ask people, hey, how's this season been for you? People are all over the place. Here's why I wanted to bring this up here this morning or today, and it's this. What we typically do, at least I'm speaking for myself, and I'm guessing I'm not the only one, is whatever experience I personally have during this season, it's really tempting for me to think that everybody else is experiencing the same thing. So if I think that, man, this has been such a hard season, I'm constantly looking at everybody else being like, man, are you okay? Because it's just been such a hard season. But for them, it may not be a hard season. For them, it might be great. And so it doesn't even understand. But what I'm doing in that moment is I'm actually projecting, meaning I'm taking how I'm experiencing something or how I'm seeing something, and I'm making the assumption that everybody else sees it the same way. Listen, today, the world that we live in, I don't know if I can remember a time in the last years where there's been so many opinions, so many different experiences, so much division, so many people moving in different ways than I've ever seen. People are all over the place. And what we're going to talk about today as we look at John 7 is Jesus is going to help us understand something that when it comes to our relationships, when it comes to our families, when it comes to business, when it comes to people that we meet on the street or even people we interact with online, it's going to help us actually to safeguard and build relationship rather than have our relationships break apart. So we're going to be in John chapter 7, and we'll kind of dive in and pick it up from there. So this is the scripture I'm going to camp on, but let me tell you a little backstory first. So what's happening is Jesus is a Jew. If you didn't know that, he's Jewish. And so he's a Jew, and Jews, they had to go to festivals 3 times a year. 3 big festivals, they'd all come to the temple, and this one's called the Feast of Booths. And basically what it was is they would remember when they were back in the desert in the time of Moses, and they had to build kind of shelters. Now, the thing about Jesus during this time is he was getting pretty famous. If it was modern day times, he would be trending on Twitter. People would be posting all over on Facebook and Instagram about him. And some people really loved him and some people didn't. And one of the groups that didn't and that were the most upset, and they're having a conversation with Jesus at this point, was a group called the Pharisees, or basically the religious teachers. And here's what they were mad about. What Jesus did is on a Sabbath, which the Sabbath was a day that they said, hey, nobody's allowed to do anything, because that's one of the things God said in the Old Testament. And the Pharisees made extra rules just to make sure nobody did any work that day. But on that day when no one is supposed to work, Jesus went and he actually healed somebody. And instead of celebrating, wow, you actually healed somebody and helped, they were irate. They were so angry. And so they come straight at Jesus. And where we're going to pick it up is we're going to pick it up when Jesus responds back to these Pharisees, because there's a big truth that I think is going to help all of us here today. So this is what it says. Jesus said, "Are you angry with me because I made an entire man well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Listen, that last phrase, it's just so good. I put it in red. Do not judge according to appearance. In other words, you're just getting so fixated on one thing. You're so focused on your initial understanding of one thing that you're actually missing the big picture of this whole thing. If you could see the whole thing and actually have righteous judgment, then you would understand this is actually a good thing. But you're missing the whole story here. You're missing the big picture. Now, you guys know me by this point. I'm a visual person, so I draw everything out. It helps me make sense out of stuff. Hopefully this helps you as well. I drew a stick figure person on the computer. Give me a break. It's not very good, but I like it. So this is my stick figure guy. It's not a bird. It's a stick figure man. He's looking this way. And basically, here's what happens with humans. What we do is we see when we look at somebody else, we can see what someone did, but what we can't always see is why someone did it. So when you look at somebody and you see a situation, something somebody said, something somebody posted, a face they made, you can see what they did. But oftentimes what we miss is we don't actually understand why they did it. Now here's the catch. You and I don't know that, and there's a reason for that. Because what we typically do is when we see something, we see what they did and we immediately tell ourselves a story about why they did it. Oh man, that person didn't call me back. You know why they didn't call me back? It's because they don't like me. That's why. They don't like me. I know it. And so we start to tell the story. And here's the thing. The story may be true, but it may not be true. The only thing we know for sure is what they did. What we don't know for sure is why they did it. And can I tell you one of the biggest things that I've seen as a pastor over the years, whether it's in churches, whether it's in families, whether it's on sports teams, whether it's in government, is when people go and they not only just see what somebody did, but they start to make up things about why they did it. Now, I will say this. When I say make it up, I don't mean that they're trying to say something that's false. People actually believe it's true. They just don't know for sure. And one of the things that I've seen Satan do over and over and over again is go and take something that's true, what somebody did, and then tell them something false about why they did it and divide relationships right and left. I'll give you a practical example from my wife and I. We've been married for a little bit over a year, and she gave me permission to share the story because it's a huge learning thing. We had a couple of really hard times in the last year. And when things get really, really hard, one of us, his natural reaction is to laugh. That's what they do. When things get really tense, really hard, one person laughs. Now, what happens is one of us, like the person laughs, but the reason why two different people think about it two different ways. One person, if somebody laughs, thinks to themselves, the reason that they laughed is because they're making fun of me. The reason that they laughed is because they're attacking me. But for the other person, when they laugh, the only reason they're laughing is because, you know what? Things are so crazy right now, I'm either going to laugh or I'm going to cry. I mean, how much more could go wrong? Now, for the record, if you can't tell, I'm the one that laughs. And it was so crazy because in the beginning, I couldn't help it. We'd get in these big fights over time until we started to learn to have conversations. And so my wife's so good. If she's laughing, if she sees me laugh, she'll not ask me. Like, she won't assume why I'm laughing. She'll say, okay, why are you laughing? And then I'll tell her, oh, this is the reason why. And she'll say, oh, I thought it was because of this. Now, the real reality is it could have been because of that. But if we didn't have a conversation back here, then we missed the big picture. And what starts to happen is that our relationships start to fracture. I mean, just think about all the times that this happens in just normal things. Think about when you're at work. You read something in an email. You read it. They actually said it. You tell yourself an entire story about why they said it, but the truth is you're not exactly sure for sure why they told it. And so what you've got to be able to do is you've actually got to make sure this is actually true before you make the judgment and tell yourself the thing that's going on in that. Here's the kind of way that I would say Jesus' words, and it's going to be like this. Is don't judge the face. Start by giving grace. This is going to be my one big principle for the day. Don't judge the face. Start by giving grace. Now, I wanted to say it like this. I wanted to say, don't judge the face, give grace. And then I was going to throw in some pigeon, but then you would never listen to me again. And I get it. But I like it. And part of this, I thought it was funny on that is, I think about this when people see me and my wife's gorgeous. And this is a picture of her right here. She's just stunning. And I think sometimes people look at me and they're like, how did a guy like that get that girl? And I want to tell them, don't judge the face, huh? Give grace. That's what I want to say. So that's to help you remember. But don't judge the face. Listen, start by giving grace. In other words, when you start to get upset about something, when somebody says something a certain way, you see something, I want you to pause. Because I want you to say, it's like, listen, I know you understand what they did or what they said, but before you get angry, before you get really hurt, before you explode, before you retreat, let's make sure that we see the big picture of it and we don't judge the situation just by what they said. Let's figure out why they said it. Let's figure out how they got there. And if you'll do this, I'm telling you, it will save you so many fights. If you do this, it will save you so many emotions that you don't need to feel that aren't productive. Because a lot of times what I've found, many of the times I get upset, when I find out what the actual situation is in the big picture, it actually ends up just being a misunderstanding and a miscommunication. Now, I will say there are times where I find out the big picture and I'm still upset. That's going to happen. But what we want to do is what Jesus is saying is don't just judge so quick on the appearance. Make sure you see the whole thing and then make a righteous judgment, meaning an accurate judgment, a picture that makes sense as we go forward on that. Now, I want to talk about this in kind of two ways on this. Because the truth is all of us do this to some people and all of us have this done to us. And so if you see on social media, a lot of times what people do is they'll talk about fact-checking right now. What I want to do today is introduce something a little bit different. Instead of fact-checking, I want us to do this. I want us to start doing story checking. In other words, do I actually understand the whole story, or am I just fixated on just one piece of the equation? Am I just fixated on what I saw happen, and now I've told myself a story to help fill in the blanks, but that might actually not be true? I'll give you two examples. One example of me doing this to somebody else, and another example of somebody else doing this to me. I'll start with me messing this up, because I do this all the time, and I'm sure you do too. One of the more troublesome ones for me was about when I was in my 20s. I was in this leadership training thing, and there was this person that was teaching. And they were teaching what the life of a leader should look like. And they were describing everything in it, and here's how you need to present yourself, and how you need to carry yourself, and all these different things. Now, the problem for me is that when I looked at this person, I didn't feel like they carried themselves very well. I didn't feel like they even took care of themselves very well. And so I started to have a really hard time because it was like, oh man, you're saying this, but you're actually doing this. And you know, when you're in your 20s, you're so judgmental right away. You just think you know everything. And if you're in your 20s, I apologize, but it's just true. That was at least me. Maybe you're different. I have a feeling it's probably the same for all of us, but maybe you're the exception. But for me, that was the feeling. And I just came to that quick snap judgment. And so I would just judge them. Oh, I wish they should take care of themselves better. Well, 2 weeks later, I found something out. And what I found out is that person, the leader that was teaching all of us, they were going through a really, really intense health treatment. And because they were going through this intense health treatment, for them, it was hard to do a lot of different things. Now, how do you think I felt in that moment when I found it out? I was like, oh, man, I'm a jerk. I made this snap judgment, and it's not even accurate. Matter of fact, they're doing everything they can in their power to take care of themselves and just to make it through all this. And when I got the big picture story, I didn't have judgment anymore. I actually had compassion. And I felt a little bit of shame because it's like, man, I wish that I would have given the benefit of the doubt and asked some questions first before I made this judgment. I mean, just think about how this happens even right now. I mean, right now we're all making judgments about all sorts of stuff, but imagine you ran into somebody as you're at Safeway or the supermarket, and let's say that you're somebody that, man, you just miss people, so you're giving everybody the elbows, right? Elbow touch, boom, elbow, elbow. And you go to give somebody that you really haven't seen in a while elbows, and they like pull back from you a little bit in like horror. Now you might instantly just feel like, oh, wow, how's that? Like, little like, I'm like, I got a mask, I'm good, like, what are you doing right now? And you might be kind of offended in that moment. But what you may not know is, let's say for that person, maybe it's not even for them right now, but maybe for them, as this is true for some of my friends, they have somebody at home that's at extremely high risk right now. They've got multiple existing conditions already, and if they get sick, a lot of doctors are saying they're not going to make it. Well, when you hear that story and you see that person pull back from giving an elbow, it makes you react a little bit different, doesn't it? Because then you're like, oh, I totally get it. Like, if I was in your situation, if I was in your shoes, I would be doing the exact same thing. And see, quite often, that's what we need to be able to do when we're in this whole situation. Listen, things are changing like crazy right now. People are disagreeing how the government should handle things. People are talking about how our state should run. People are going through all sorts of stuff. And before we go to snap judgment, sometimes we just need to pause. We just need to ask a few more questions. Because right now, what I've seen in the world that we live in is people are quick to make assumptions, quick to make judgment. And I just feel like the people of God, that we should be some of the most patient and loving people, being able to say, hey, you know what? Let's give them the benefit of doubt. Let's give them some grace. And let's ask a few more questions before we make this kind of snap judgment. Now, I told you a story about me doing that or to somebody, but let me flip it around and tell you about somebody doing it to me, and it happened this week. So as you know, in our nation, there's been a whole bunch of, a lot of tension with the whole racial stuff that's happening and the protests. And for me, it has an interesting place in my heart, and I'll tell you why. I wanted to show you a couple pictures from my family, and I haven't shown these pictures to hardly anybody, so this is the first time you'll ever see them. And I do want to give you one preface with it. I am not adopted in any of these pictures. So when you see these pictures, this is my actual blood family. So I'll show you. This is a picture of me and my dad right here. That's my dad. And then this will be a photo. That's my grandpa right there, my blood grandpa, and then my sister. And then this is my blood family, if you can see. Now, if you can't tell, if you look at this picture, I have by far the lightest skin tone of my entire family. My entire family. So my grandpa's 100% black, my dad's half, and I, believe it or not, am 25% black. Now you're saying, you're kidding me, where'd it go? I said, I know, I don't know where it went either. Actually, I do, it was in my hair, but I cut it off, so it's gone. But the reality is for me, this whole thing's been interesting because I ran into somebody this week and they come from a really small town in the mainland. And they were explaining, I just had no idea. Like, you know, like people like me and you, we just don't know. And I kind of laughed a little bit because it's like, it's true. Where I was raised, I was treated like I was white because look at my skin. I would treat me like I was white. I mean, for Hawaii, I look like a military, don't I? That's just the nature of it. But the reality is like, I actually know some of the stories. Like my grandpa and grandma, they weren't allowed to get married. When they rode the bus together, they had to sit in separate sides of it. Like my mom and my dad got so many different things happening to them. And so sometimes people think like, oh, just because of the way I look that I don't know any of the stories on that. It's like, that's actually not true. And so as we talk through this stuff, it's like, if they would have just asked me some questions, then I'd be able to share a little bit different. But a lot of times people just start and they look at me and they assume one thing and they make a judgment. Now, when people do that to me, you know what I do? I put them in their place. No, I don't put them in their place. What I do is I say, I totally understand because look at me. I get it, you know? And honestly, I judge people too. And honestly, when I make fast judgments, usually my judgments aren't right. Because that's just human nature, guys. We're people that we make these judgments and we make them too fast. And what God's trying to tell us is, listen, when you make your judgments, make sure you see the big picture because it's so easy to grab just one thing and to make an inaccurate judgment on incomplete information. So here's what I want to say on the other side of this too. Jesus said at another place, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and in the prophets. Here's the thing about judgment. I know that for me at least, and I know this is true for you, don't you hate it when people misunderstand you and falsely judge you? Don't you like, I can't stand that. I'm like, why didn't you just ask me a question? Or if you would have just come to me, like, I didn't mean that. If you would just ask me, it's like you misunderstood the whole situation. And the reality is we hate when people do that to us, but our nature is actually to do it to each other. If I could say it another way, I'd say it like this. We judge other people by their actions. Nope, this is what you did. This is what you said. This is what your face looked like. But we judge ourselves by our intentions. No, that's not what I meant. Here's my heart in the matter. Jesus is saying, hey, listen, you know what? You want to get this all right? Treat other people the way that you wish that you want to be treated. So if you want to be judged by your intentions, in other words, people ask questions, get the big picture first before they make a judgment, then what he's saying is that's what we need to do for other people. We need to be able to do that. So I want to start to close by just giving us a couple practical ways to do that. So here's my story checking challenge. This is what you're going to do this week. Every time you feel upset, every time you see something and you're ready to either like, make a statement about it or to maybe like react to it or maybe you're like to run from it, whatever it is, I just want you to pause and here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask two questions to confirm the big picture story, the why, not just what they did, but why they did it before you make a judgment. Two questions. And you can practice. I guarantee if you're married, you're going to get plenty chances to practice. If you're working somewhere, you get plenty chances to practice this. But before you make this judgment, ask two questions. I'll give you some examples of questions you could ask. Stuff like this. So if somebody says something rough to you, you could say like this. Hey, you know, I'm not saying you're saying this, but what I hear you saying is, and then just mirror it back for them. You know, I'm not saying you're saying this like that you're thinking I'm not pulling my weight, but what I'm hearing you telling me is it sounds like you're saying that you're frustrated. And then, is that true? Not in the tone. You say, you know, is that true? And you got to be humble when you do it because basically you're saying it's like, I'm offended by what you're saying, But before I get offended, I'm going to actually make sure that's what you're saying. And so I'm going to do that. Or another way you could say it is this. You know, I could totally be off. So you're owning, I could totally be off. But the story I'm telling myself in my head right now is this. Is that right? So whatever the situation, so maybe this one, you could be at home and something happened where maybe somebody came and they didn't communicate and they didn't tell you when they were going to be back and it felt very insensitive and you're upset. And you'd say, you know, I could totally be off, but the story I'm telling myself in my head is that, you know, it didn't really matter to you what I was doing. Is that right? Like, is that what it was? And they say, oh, I just lost track of time. I'm so sorry. I totally care. It'll clear the whole thing out. Two other examples of this, and the last one's pretty simple. So this is, you know, I don't want to come to an unfair conclusion, but can you help me understand your perspective more? This is a great one for work. If you just tell people, even like this, tell me more about that and how you got there. If you just start asking people questions, and here it is, listen before you judge. It's actually a huge, huge game changer. So two things that are going to be helpful in this is this. You got to watch your tone. My wife is the master of helping me do this. And you got to come in humble because there's a huge difference between like, hey, what were you thinking? And hey, what were you thinking? Same words, completely different tone. You know what I mean? And so you just get into a place where you watch your tone, genuine question, force yourself to be genuine. Hey, can you just tell me more about that? I'm not sure. Is that true? Is that what you were thinking? Is that what you actually meant? Tone, critical. And then humble. Humble meaning that I could be wrong. Hey, I'm not sure about this. Hey, I'm just telling myself in this thing, I'm not sure if it's actually right. When you do that, that's different than, hey, this is what I think you're doing right now. Like, what were you thinking? You go in there, boom, relationships are going to explode. Before we make a judgment, step back. We're going to ask ourselves two questions to catch the big picture on here. Now, for some of you guys, this might be extra hard, and here's why. Maybe you have people around you, they never do this for you. They never give you the benefit of the doubt. They're always judging. Maybe you're at a work, and it's like, boom, everybody's always nitpicking on that. Listen, it can be so tempting to just treat people the way that they treat us. But the reality and the reason that we can do this as Christians is not because we base our actions on how other people treat us. The scriptures say we're actually supposed to base our actions on how God treats us. He says it like this in John. We love because he first loved us. Listen, when we were God's enemies, when we didn't want anything to do with God, when we were like judging God or hurting God or doing it in that kind of space, it says that God still loved us even in the middle of that. Matter of fact, it says he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. Romans 5:8 says that he sent it to die when we were still yet sinners. In other words, when we didn't do anything right towards him, he just treated us with kindness, with grace, with gentleness. He went first. And because he went first, listen, that gives us the strength to now, listen, God went first for me. I can go first for our relationship. I can go first for our marriage. I can go first at work. I can go first with my relationships with my kids, even if it's been estranged for years. I can go first with my in-laws, or I can go first with some of my extended family, even though we've had tension for so long. I can come in. I can come humble. I can ask some questions to understand the perspective first because, man, God did that stuff for me. God took the first step for me. You know, today what we're going to do is we're actually going to go back to remember what Jesus did for us, and we're going to be celebrating communion. If you have your bread with you or your crackers and your juice, you can take that out right now. But I tell you what, every time that, at least for me, when I get off in my life as a Christian, one of the reasons that I get off is I lose track of what God's already done for me. I lose track of what Jesus has done on the cross. And when you just can come back to that reality of like, Jesus, somebody who did nothing wrong, literally lived a perfect life, was nothing but love. And then he laid down his life for us before we ever asked him. I mean, it's just incredible. It just builds this compassion and it centers us back because that's the example we're meant to follow. We're meant to follow him the way that he was able to lay his life down for us. Is now he asks us to do the same for others. And listen, When you start laying your life down in that same fashion, it's the craziest thing, but life actually starts coming. There's a grace that takes care of your heart. There's a grace that takes care of your mind. There's a grace that will come and take care of your family. But it starts with us being able to center back and to understand what he did on the cross. And so on the night that Jesus was betrayed, it said he gathered friends, his disciples. They went into a room around a table, and he took bread. And if you have the bread with you, you can take it, and you can break it. Because it said he broke it, and what he said is, "This is my body broken for you." He says, "Whenever you eat, I want you to remember." And listen, if you're watching this, especially if you're new, the reason we're right with God isn't because we make good decisions. It's not because we figured out how to do everything right and we've got this moral code down. The reason we're made right with God is because Jesus paid the price for us. He's the one that did it. We couldn't do it for ourselves. And so when you break the bread, I just want you to remember and to come back and even in your own words to say thank you in some way to God, because he paid the price for you and he paid the price for me. So take a moment, say thank you to God, and let's eat the bread together. So in the same way, Jesus took a cup and he said, "This cup represents the blood of the new covenant." Now, that may not make sense to a lot of us in modern day, but in Jesus' time, the thing about a covenant, it could never be broken. It always had to be sealed with blood and it could never be broken. And one of the great things that he's saying is because of what Jesus did on the cross, you are connected to God now. If you put your faith in Jesus, you're now connected to God and there's nothing that could ever separate you from him. Nothing you can do, nothing in that. It says nothing can separate. If we just put our eyes on Jesus, we've made faith to follow him. It says we're covered by the blood of Jesus. Today, what I want us to do is we remember. I just want you to remember that, listen, you're secure with God. Not because of you, but because of Jesus. And come back to that faith because he did it all for us. And so let's drink and remember what it is that he did. Would you bow your heads with me as we close in prayer? Jesus, just thank you for your love for us. God, I know for me, sometimes it's so easy to forget it, to forget what you did on the cross, or the cross just becomes a story. And today, just pause and remember and just thank you. You loved me first. You came after me first. I didn't find you. You found me. God, thank you that you love like that. And Lord, when I look around our world today and I look at all the different situations, what we need is love like that in the middle of it, your love. And God, that's something we don't have in and of ourselves. And so I pray, Lord, that you would fill each and every one of us with that kind of love. God, would we suspend judgment? Would we refuse to get caught in the enemy's lies of just locking in to just a little bit of a piece of information and not seeing the big picture? God, this week as we go into work environments, conversations with our kids, neighbors, friends, whatever it is, Lord, help us to come humble and to seek to see the big picture first before we make a judgment into it. And God, would you help us every time it happens to be able to just press into you in that moment and just really ask for your love to flow through us because we need it, God. We can't do it on our own. Also, we just wanted to just pray for anybody here today. And, you know, you might be watching this and maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus. And one of the things that we love to make it a habit here at New Hope Windward is just to give you an opportunity to do that. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. And the mistake that a lot of people make with this decision is they think they need to get themselves perfect before they come to God. But what they don't understand is God loves you just as you are. Like, you don't need to be perfect before you come to him. All you need to do is be able to say, you know what? I want to make a change. I've been doing life my own way. Now I want to come and follow after you, God, and do life your way. I want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life. I want to be able to walk with God in that space. And that literally is all that scripture says that you need to do. Is being able to realize I've gone down this path, I've made mistakes, I've been in charge of my own life, and today I want to make a change. And if you want to make a change, I want to pray with you as well. And so if that's you, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to put the words there. And then you just repeat after me. It's not magic words. What's more important is the heart of this whole thing. And that's what God's looking at even now. So let's pray if that's what you want to do here. We'll pray together. Just say this. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I know I've made mistakes, and I'm sorry. Today I want to make a change. Today I want to choose to follow you. I want to make you my Lord, my Savior, and my leader. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. And God, that's a prayer for all of us as we close. And as we go even to come worship you today, God, we want to follow you. We want to love you. We declare that you are the best thing that's happened to us. And we want to align our hearts with you anew today. We love you. We praise you. We worship you. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, stick around, because what we're going to do now is we're just going to enter into a time of worship, just to love on God and to give him all the praise that he deserves. And then we'll see you next week as we continue in our series.